But, well, all right, Demeter looks a bit unconvinced. Is there a lot to see in the woods? Oh, yes, I say with a bland smile. Don't worry, you won't be bored. Do you have sunscreen on? I add. It's hot today. It's not just hot, it's baking. Biddy slathered all the children with sunscreen earlier on, and she's made some ice lollies, which will be ready for lunchtime. I'm wearing Factor 50, actually, says Demeter smugly. I use this wonderful brand, which I get at Space MK. It has neroli oil and argan milk. Great. I cut her off before she can do my head in with her boasting. Let's start, then. I only mentioned sunscreen to sound professional. Where Demeter's going, she won't need sunscreen. Mwahahaha! I lead the way briskly across the fields, the blood pumping through my veins. I'm a little hyper this morning. I woke at 5 a.m, fully alert, my head already full of Demeter and Alex. Both, I suppose. Okay, full disclosure, my head was actually full of Alex, with Demeter popping in for the odd cameo, which is ridiculous. This is a guy I met a handful of times, a guy who'll have already forgotten I exist. Why should he have got inside my brain? Why should I feel so... what, exactly? Betrayed. That's what I feel, I realize. I feel betrayed that he should go for someone like Demeter, who's so married, so inappropriate, so Demeterish. When he could have had... well, all right, before I sound totally tragic, here's the thing. I'm not just saying, oh, I wish he'd fallen in love with me. I mean, obviously I do wish that, kind of, but it's bigger than that. It's like, are you really a Demeter person, Alex? Because I can't see it. She doesn't have your humour. She doesn't have your flippant airiness, your live-wire irreverence. I can't see the pair of you gelling. I just can't. I can't. I can't. Sorry, says Demeter, and I realise I'm muttering, I can't, under my breath. Just doing a Vidari chant, I say hastily. Helps me focus. Now, keep your eyes peeled for voles. Voles, exclaims Demeter. They're tiny creatures, rather like mice, but much more special, I nod. And there are sacks of them in this field. There's no chance that she'll catch sight of a vole, but at least it'll keep her off my case for a bit. Sure enough, we walk on in silence, Demeter determinedly scanning the ground. So, as we arrive at the edge of the woods, I turn like a tour leader. Welcome to Anster's Woods. In here we'll find a biodiverse world of animals, plants, and even fish, all working together in harmony. Fish? Queries Demeter, and I nod. There are streams and ponds in the woods, which are home to several very rare species. Which is, you know, probably true. Whatever. I've deliberately headed toward the thickest, most tangled part of the wood, and Demeter's eyeing the brambles nervously. Well, what an idiot she is, wearing shorts. Ow! Demeter's voice suddenly rings out. I've been stung by a nettle. Bad luck, I say blandly, as we walk on. I can't help adding, the trick with nettles is to grasp them, grasp the nettle, and everything will be okay. Don't you agree? I can't tell if Demeter gets the reference or not. She's staring at the overgrown path ahead and seems unnerved. Don't worry, I say reassuringly. I'll cut us through the undergrowth. Keep close behind me, and that way you'll find it easier. I take a long, whippy stick and start slashing through the bushes, accidentally on purpose, using such a vigorous, wheeling motion that I catch Demeter on the leg too. Ow! She says. Oh, sorry, I say in an innocent tone. I totally didn't mean to do that. Let's carry on. Look around and you'll see birch, ash, and sycamore trees, as well as oaks. I give her about 30 seconds to appear at the trees, then continue. So, what are you up to tonight, Demeter? It's just you and the kids, isn't it? You must be feeling so sad that your husband's gone, so lonely, all alone in your yurt. Just you, no one else. As I speak, I feel resentment simmering. Look at her, in her denim shorts, catching some sun, revving up for a night of torrid sex. I know, it's a shame. Just one of those things, says Demeter with a shrug. She's peering at the trees around us. So, which is the sycamore? I mean, you came here as a family. I smile so hard my cheeks start to tremble. With your lovely husband, who you made those special vows to. How long have you been married? What? Demeter looks puzzled. 18 years? No, 19. 19 years! Congratulations! You must really, really love him. Yes, says Demeter, looking bemused. I mean, we have our ups and downs. Of course you do, don't we all? I give a shrill laugh. All this time, I've managed to keep outwardly calm around Demeter, but today, I'm losing it a bit. So are there many interesting bird species in the woods? Asks Demeter, with her alert and intelligent expression that really rubs me the wrong way. Oh, yes, I say, breathing hard. Definitely. As a crow flutters out of a tree, I point upward. Look, did you see that? No, says Demeter, and immediately cranes upward too. What was it? A very rare bird, I say. Very rare indeed. The great-crested boaster. I nearly said the great-crested Demeter. It's related to the warbler, but much more rare, I say. Very predatory, very toxic, nasty bird. Really? Demeter sounds fascinated. Oh, yes. I'm on a roll now. It pushes the younger females out of the way, and it won't let them thrive. You wouldn't want to come across it in the wild. It's vicious, selfish. I mean, it looks good. It has very sleek plumage, but it's very crafty, very pretentious. How can a bird be pretentious? Demeter sounds puzzled. It preens itself all the time, I say, after a pause. And then it gouges out the other bird's eyes. Oh, my God, Demeter looks like she might be sick. Because it's got to be top bird. It's got to have everything. It doesn't care if the other birds in the wood are struggling. I pause. But then, when it's off guard and vulnerable, the other birds take revenge on it. How? Demeter looks utterly gripped. They have their means, I say with a bland smile. I wait for Demeter to ask another question, but she doesn't. Instead, she gives me a weird, appraising look. I was reading a book about local birds last night, she says slowly. It didn't mention the great-crested boaster. Well, like I say, it's very rare. One of our rarest. Shall we? I motion for us to carry on, but Demeter doesn't follow. Her eyes are running over me as though for the first time. Oh, God, she doesn't suspect something, does she? Was the great-crested boaster a step too far? Have you always lived in the country? She asks. Oh, yes, I laugh, relieved to be on firmer ground. I was born in the farmhouse, I add, broadening my burr. My dad'll show you the marks on the kitchen wall, measuring my height over the years. This is home for me. I see. Demeter looks only partially reassured, but she starts following me again. You'll want to see the ponds, I tell her over my shoulder. Beautiful wildlife at the ponds. We'll go there now. They're always called the ponds, but it's one pond, really. One quite large, fairly deep pond, and one shallower dip right next to it, which is sometimes a pond and sometimes a swamp. At this time of year, it's swamp, about 3 foot deep of swampy, froggy mud, all topped off with bright green weed. And that's where Demeter's heading, whether she knows it or not. I want her plastered in mud, dripping with weed, screaming with fury, and then, final touch, immortalized in a viral photo, which I'm sure Flora will have great pleasure in disseminating to the world. My phone's in my pocket, covered in protective plastic. I'm all set. The only issue is going to be getting her into the swamp. But even if I have to dive in first myself, I'm doing it. My breaths are coming fast as we walk along. My ears are buzzing. I'm twitching at every sound from the trees. Every so often, I have a spasm of nerves and think, do I really want to do this? Shall we just go back to the farmhouse instead? But then I picture Demeter tapping at her phone with that smug smile, summoning Alex like a takeout order the minute her husband disappeared. Demeter, making me do her roots, thrusting her net-a-porter boxes at me, complaining about her tiny journey to work. Demeter, staring at me in a lift at Cooper Clemo. She couldn't even remember if she'd let me go, because, hey, what does the life of some junior girl sitting in the corner matter? There I was, feeling sorry for her. Well, what a joke. She doesn't need my pity. I mean, look at her. I glance at her long legs, clad in designer wellies, her confident, I'm-the-boss stride. If she had a brief moment of vulnerability, it's long past now. and I was a mug to fall for it, because Demeter's always been an expert at using other people to sort her life out. Husband disappeared. Order in your lover instead. Deleted a crucial email. Get your assistant to sort it out. Somehow, she always manages to come out on top. Except today. Somerset has amazing birds, I say, leading her toward the ponds. There are loads of rare species around here, so as we walk, you should look up. All the time, look up. Not down at your feet. Not down at the mud and slippery oil that I may possibly have planted earlier. As we round a clump of bushes, the ponds come into sight ahead of us. The swamp is a patch of lime-green weed. It couldn't look more glistening and noxious. No one's about. All the other glampers are miles away, doing their foraging in Warriton Forest, and no one else has access to these woods. The silence around us is eerie and expectant. All I can hear is my own breath and our footsteps on the increasingly muddy ground, sloping downward toward the swamp. Look up, I keep exhorting her. Look up! Everything becomes boggy around here, and very slippery, even before it's been laced with hemp oil. It's okay as long as you're careful. Don't walk too fast and don't even think about running, which is why I'm about to make Demeter run. Oh, wow! I whisper as though in sudden excitement. Can you see the kingfishers? Millions of them. Hurry! I up my pace to what looks like a run, although I'm careful to plant my feet carefully and stay balanced. You go first, I turn and make a generous gesture to Demeter. Go ahead of me, but hurry, hurry! Like a shopper at the Harrods sale, Demeter starts pegging it in a tiptoe run, her eyes fixed upward, gathering momentum. She doesn't see the point at which soggy mud turns to oil slick. She doesn't even notice when she starts to skid, until her feet finally hit the slipperiest bit of the oil slick, and she hasn't got a chance. She slides down toward the swamp, flailing her arms, looking like a really terrible snowboarder. Oh my God, she gasps. Oh God! Careful, I call out cheerfully. It gets slippery. Oh no! I'm watching with all my attention, not even letting myself blink. I want to enjoy this fully. I want to see every single moment. Demeter thrashing her arms in panic. Demeter sliding off the bank. Demeter poised in midair. Demeter's horror as she realizes what's about to happen. And Demeter landing in the swamp. With not so much of a splash as a thwop. It's 3 solid feet of mud, and as she crashes into it, the mud sprays up in great, gloopy splatters, landing on her face and hair. There's green weed on her head and down her cheeks, and I can see some sort of bug crawling along her shoulder. Yes, this could not have gone better. Look at her! She immediately tries to scramble to her feet, but it's not so easy, and she falls several times before she manages to stand up. By this time, she's in the middle of the swamp, and if I'd planned the perfect photo op, then this would have been it. Demeter, looking drenched, muddy, undignified, and furious. Help me out! She waves an indignant hand at me. I'm stuck! Oh dear! I call back, getting my phone out, trying to hide my euphoria. I take a few photos, then carefully stash my phone back in its bag. What are you doing? Shouts Demeter. Just coming to help you, I say soothingly. You know, you should be careful around swamps. You should never hurry. But you told me to hurry, Demeter explodes. You said, hurry! Never mind, we'll soon get you back to your yurt. Come on, I beckon. I'm stuck, Demeter repeats, giving me an accusing look. My feet have sunk into the mud. Just lift up your leg, I mime, pulling a leg out of a swamp. And Demeter copies, but as she wrenches her leg out, her welly is missing. Shit, she says, flailing her arms again. My boot! Where's my boot? Oh, for God's sake. I'll get it, I say, feeling like a mother with a 3-year-old. I wade into the swamp, reach Demeter, and feel around in the mud for the boot. Demeter is meanwhile standing on one leg, clinging to my arm. Here, I fish out the missing welly. Shall we go? I turn toward the bank, but Demeter doesn't turn with me. Why did you tell me to hurry? she asks in even, ominous tones. Did you want me to fall in? I feel a tiny spasm of alarm, which I quell. She can't prove anything. Of course not. Why would I want that? I don't know, says Demeter in the same ominous way. But it's weird, isn't it? And you know what else? I feel like I know you from somewhere. She scrutinizes my face, and I bow my head hastily under my baseball cap. Well, that's ridiculous. I give a hasty laugh. I'm a Somerset girl. Never been to London town in my life. I don't even know where Chiswick is. Why did you say Chiswick? Snaps Demeter. At once I curse myself. Shit, idiot, I'm losing concentration. Didn't you say you work in Chiswick? I answer as lightly as I can. Something like that. No, I never mentioned it. Demeter holds my wrist so tight that it hurts. Who the hell are you? I'm Katie, I try to wriggle out of her grasp. Now let's go and have a nice slap-up cream tea, or cake, jam tarts. You're hiding something, Demeter gives me an angry wrench, and I lose my footing. Arr! I land in the swamp and feel mud slapping onto my face. Oh my God, this is gross. I scramble into a sitting position, wipe my eyes, and glare at Demeter. All my self-control has gone. I feel as if my kite string has snapped. The kite is soaring away. Don't you dare do that! I slap swamp mud at her. Well, don't you fucking dare! Demeter slaps mud back at me. I don't know what you're up to, but I'm not up to anything! I crawl to the side of the swamp and dip my head in the fresh water of the adjoining pond, trying to calm my adrenaline rush. Okay, regroup. This was not the plan. I have to keep it together. This may be Demeter, but she's a guest, too. I cannot be having a mud fight with her. I mean, it really wouldn't sound good on TripAdvisor. Although, who's to believe her word against mine? You know, if it came to it. Feeling steadier, I lift my head from the fresh water. My face is clean, all traces of mud gone. My baseball cap's disappeared somewhere, but never mind. I pull my dripping hair back and scrunch it into a knot. Right, back to my professional tour leader act. Okay, I turned to Demeter. Well, I think we should finish the nature walk there. I do apologize for any... Wait, she says, her voice suddenly quivering. Wait right there. Calf! My stomach does a loop-the-loop of terror. No. Cat, Demeter corrects herself, her eyes like gimlets. Cat, isn't it? Who's cat? I manage to keep in control of my voice. Don't give me that! Demeter sounds so incandescent. I almost feel my skin shrivel. Cat Brenner! It's you, isn't it? I can see it now! I've wrecked my disguise, I realize with a sickening thud. The hat and the makeup and the curly hair, all gone. How could I have been so stupid? For a few petrified seconds, my mind gallops around my options. Deny, run away, other. Okay, it's me, I say at last, trying to sound nonchalant. I changed my nickname. Is that against the law? A crow flaps past, cawing, but neither of us moves. We're both standing motionless in the swamp, covered in mud, staring at each other as though life is on pause. My blood is pulsing in terror, but I feel a strange relief, too. At least now she'll know. She'll know. Demeter has her swivelly-eyed, has-the-world-gone-mad look. She keeps peering at me, then frowning, then going all distant, as though she's consulting her memory. Things could go anywhere from here, anywhere. I feel almost exhilarated. Okay, I don't understand, says Demeter, and I can tell she's trying to stay calm with difficulty. I don't. I'm trying to understand. I'm trying to get my head round this, but I can't. What the hell is going on? Nothing's going on. You engineered me into the swamp, Demeter's starting to sound agitated. You told me to hurry so I would fall in. Do you have something against me? She looks so ignorant, so oblivious, that I draw breath. Do I have something against her? Where do I start? And catching me with that stick, she exclaims before I can respond. That was on purpose too. This whole morning has been a vendetta, hasn't it? Has this whole week been a vendetta? I can see her thoughts working, tracking back, analysing everything until her eyes snap with suspicion. Oh my God! Is Vidari a real thing? Of course it's not a real bloody thing, I explode with pent-up frustration. Only a totally pretentious early adopter like you would fall for something like that. It's pitiful. I just had to mention Gwyneth Paltrow, and you were all over it. But the website? I know, I nod with satisfaction. Good, wasn't it? I feel a shaft of triumph as I see her face dropping. Ha! Gotcha. I see, says Demeter, in the same controlled, even tones. So, you've taken me for a fool. Well, congratulations, Kat, or Katie, or whatever you call yourself. But what I still don't understand is why. Is this because you lost your job? Are you blaming me for that? Because, one, that was not my fault personally, and two, as I said to you at the time, losing your job is really not the end of the world. She draws herself up tall, despite the swamp, casting herself as the tolerant, put-upon boss figure, and my rage simmers up again into a froth. You know something, Demeter, I say, casting around for my own version of dignity. When you don't have any funds, and you'd rather die than ask your parents for cash, then losing your job pretty much is the end of the world. Nonsense, says Demeter with asperity. You'll find another job. I've applied and applied. I've got nothing. At least nothing that pays. But I'm not like Flora. I can't afford to work for no pay. All I ever wanted was to live in London, and that day my dream got squashed. And of course that wasn't your fault, but it was your fault that you didn't even remember if you'd let me go or not. My voice rises in anguish. That was my life you held in your hands, and you didn't even remember. You were like, oh, unimportant junior person whose name I can't recall. Have I ruined your life today or not? Please, remind me. All right, says Demeter after a pause. I accept that. My behaviour was unfortunate. Things were very difficult for me at that time. How could they be difficult? I throw any remaining caution to the winds. You've got the perfect bloody life. You've got everything. What are you talking about? Demeter stares at me. Oh, come on, I explode. Don't look at me like that. You have the perfect life. You've got the job, the husband, the lover, the kids, the money, the looks, the trendy clothes, the celebrity friends, the invitations to parties, the haircuts, the Pharaoh and ball front door, the gorgeous stone steps, the holidays. I run out of breath. I mean, you've got it all. And you stand there and look at me like, what perfect life? There's another silence. I can hear my own breath coming, short and fast. I have never felt such tension in these woods. Never. Then Demeter comes wading through the swamp to me. Her face is still plastered with mud, but I can see the fury simmering in her eyes. Okay, Katie, she spits. You want my perfect life? You want to know about my perfect life? I'm tired all the time, all the time. My husband and I have a hellish struggle balancing two jobs, but we need the money because, yes, we bought ourselves a big family house with a big, crippling mortgage. And, yes, we redecorated it, which was probably a mistake. But everyone makes mistakes, right? I go to restaurant launches to network for my job. I sit on judging panels, ditto. Parties, ditto. I wear heels that give me backache, and I look at my watch every half hour, wishing I could escape. I stare at her, dumbstruck. I'm remembering the Net-a-Porter boxes, the photos on Instagram, the upbeat tweets, Demeter here, there and everywhere, being sparkling and brilliant. It never in a million years occurred to me that she might not enjoy it. I never have time to see my friends, Demeter continues without missing a beat. Every time I come home late, my children give me a hard time. I've missed so many moments of their lives. I'd weep if I could, but I'm beyond weeping over that particular issue. I'm an aging woman in a young people's game, and one day that's going to lose me my job. My hair is going grey, as you know, and I think I'm getting dementia, so fuck off with your perfect life. Dementia, I stare at her. Oh, and those steps you mentioned? I hate those fucking steps more than anything in the world. Demeter starts shaking all over. She seems to have reached a whole new level of anger. Have you ever tried wheeling a pram up a flight of 10 steps? Because it's a nightmare. Those steps have been the bane of my existence. Do you know what happened the Christmas Eve that my daughter was 5? I was bringing in the presents from the car and carrying them up the icy steps when I slipped and fell. I spent the whole of Christmas Day in hospital. Oh, I say nervously. So don't talk to me about my fucking steps. Okay, I swallow. Right, sorry I mentioned the steps. I'm a bit shell-shocked, actually. I had such a firm vision of Demeter tripping down her beautiful stone steps in a designer coat, looking all smug and Demeterish, living the perfect princess life. But now that's been supplanted by new images. Demeter lugging a pram up the steps. Demeter slipping and falling. That kind of thing never occurred to me. It's okay. Demeter seems to calm down a little. And I'm sorry I let you go insensitively. I truly am. I was in a real state that day, but that should not have stopped me treating you fairly and with respect. I would like to apologize. Cat? Katie, I say awkwardly. Cat never really took. Katie, then. She holds out her muddy hand, and after a pause, I take it and we shake. Don't tell Dad and Biddy, I say abruptly. Please. Don't tell them what? Demeter's eyes glitter at me. That you pushed me into the mud. Don't worry, I wasn't intending to. This is fairly embarrassing for me, too. No, not that. Don't tell them I got made redundant. They think... I look at the ground. They think I'm on sabbatical for 6 months. What? They got the wrong end of the stick, and I couldn't tell them the truth. It was too... I break off. I just couldn't. So, what? They think you've been on sabbatical from Cooper Clemo all this time? Demeter seems incredulous. Yes, and they believe that. They think I'm, you know, quite important at the company. I practically whisper. I see. Demeter digests this. So what are you going to do when the 6 months are up? I'll get a job, I say robustly. Or if not, well, it's my problem. I'll sort it. Right. Demeter raises her eyebrows skeptically. Well, good luck with that. Then something seems to occur to her. Hey, how do you know about my steps, anyway? Oh, that, I feel myself flushing. Well, Flora told me where you live, and I happened to be in the area. And you decided to go and look at my house, says Demeter flatly. And think to yourself, she lives in that house. She must be a rich bitch. No, well, maybe a bit. I pause awkwardly. It's an amazing house. I saw it in Living Etc. We hoped doing Living Etc. might mean we could rent it out for photo shoots, says Demeter, sounding matter-of-fact. But nobody wanted it. It's still fantastic, though. I look at it and I see mortgage payments, says Demeter. The kids love it, though. We could never move. I never thought about mortgage payments either. I thought Demeter lived such a gilded life, she didn't have to worry about stuff like that. You always behave like your life is perfect, I say abruptly. I put a good face on things, Demeter says after a pause. Doesn't everyone? I've always thought... Wait! She interrupts herself with an almighty gasp. Rewind! I knew I'd miss something. What was that you said? Lover? I haven't got a lover. I feel a spasm of anger. Really? She's going to deny it, even now. I feel like we had a little entente cordiale going, and now she's smashed it. Of course you have, I say shortly. Everyone knows. Everyone knows what? That you're sleeping with Alex Astalis? What? Demeter peers at me. What are you saying to me? What? For fuck's sake. Everyone knows, I reiterate. That's why he brought you in to Cooper Clemo? I mean, it's pretty obvious, Demeter. The way you two are with each other, always laughing and joking. We're old friends, expostulates Demeter. That's all. My God. Who told you this? Just people at the office. I'm not going to get Flora into trouble. But I mean, it's common knowledge. You haven't hidden it very well. There's nothing to hide, Demeter practically detonates. This is just a ridiculous rumour. I mean, Alex, I love him dearly, but any woman who got involved with Alex Astalis would have to be insane. I can't believe it. She won't admit it, will she? Stop denying it when we all know it's true, I yell. What's Alex coming here for if he's not your lover? Demeter looks startled. What do you mean? He wasn't very subtle, I say pointedly. He didn't exactly book in under the name Mr. Smith. You called him as soon as your husband told you he was off to Brussels, didn't you? Biddy said he rang up at 2:30. Nice. What? Demeter gives every impression of being horrified. Can't she give it a rest? Stop pretending, I say furiously. It's really tedious. I'm not pretending. As Demeter's voice rockets around the wood, she sounds on the edge of panic. Are you telling me that Alex Astalis is on his way here? Is this true? She's so agitated, I pause in my thoughts. Whatever else is true, she seems genuinely shocked at this news. Well, yes. He's staying in the farmhouse, arriving this morning, I glance at my watch. It's nearly 11. He might even be here by now. Demeter doesn't reply. For a moment, I think she might not have heard. But then, 3 seconds later, she sinks down into the swamp, as though her legs won't hold her anymore.
He's firing me, she whispers.
What? I'm astounded, almost wanting to laugh at the idea. No.
Yes.
Her face is ashen, and she's staring blindly ahead.
Alex has come here to see me, obviously.
She counts off on her fingers, as though working out a logic problem.
If he wanted a meeting, he'd have made contact. He hasn't, so he wants to take me by surprise. There's only one reason for that. He's letting me go, asking me to resign, however he does it.
But I'm so shocked. I find myself sitting down in the swamp, too.
But why would they fire you? You're the boss. You're the genius. You're the whole thing.
Demeter gives a weird little laugh and turns to face me.
You haven't been in touch with anyone from work, have you?
Not really, I say uncomfortably. I knew things were going a bit wrong.
Well, they went a lot wrong.
And I don't even understand how. I don't understand. Demeter slowly bends her head to her knees. Her damp hair falls forward off her neck, and I see her grey roots showing at the base of her skull. The sight makes her seem suddenly vulnerable once more. It's a side she's trying to keep from the world, like that moment with Carlo. And as I watch her, curled up like a hiding animal, I feel a weird, unfamiliar feeling. Like I want to pat her back reassuringly. Look, I venture. It might not be what you think.
Maybe he's come here on holiday.
He might have seen the brochure on your desk, decided to book himself a little break. Demeter raises her head.
Do you really think so?
I can see hope battling with despair on her mud-splattered face. Well, it's possible. After all, the brochure is really good. I risk a little wink at Demeter, and she laughs, her tension briefly lifting.
It is really good.
I stand by everything I said before. You've got talent, Katie. The truth is, I should never have let you go. I should have got rid of that good-for-nothing Flora instead. You were always more proactive, more lively. Her face jolts with realization. Wait! It was you, she jabs a finger. You came up with the cow welfare idea, didn't you? It's the basis of the whole rebrand.
Oh, well, yes. It was me.
Hope is flowering in my chest. Maybe Demeter. Maybe she'll...
I'd love to help you with your career, says Demeter, as though reading my mind.
Especially now I know who you really are. But there won't be much chance of that if I lose my job. She interrupts herself, her eyes suddenly sharp.
Oh, my God.
I have it. Katie, you find out for me. You find out.
What?
I gape at her. Go and talk to Alex as soon as he arrives. Make conversation. Find out if he's here to let me go.
You can do it.
I know you can. But please, she grabs my hands. Please. If I know he's come to fire me, I can put together a defense. I'll have half a chance to save myself. Please, Katie, please. And I don't know if it's because finally she's got my name right, or if it's the wretched look in her eye, or just that I feel I've been mean enough to her for one holiday, but I find myself slowly nodding. Chapter 16. I've never seen someone properly stagger in shock before. But Alex does. He staggers as soon as he sees me. He's genuinely staggered. To be fair,
He's walking down a grassy bank at the time, which might have something to do with it. We're in the only little bit of formal garden we have at the farm. It's just a tiny lawn and some flower beds, with a bank leading down to the field where all the yurts are. It's where we take glampers for their welcome cup of tea. Biddy must have done the same with Alex.
Jesus!
He whips off his sunglasses and squints at me with a hand shielding his brow.
Katie, I mean, a cat, I mean. Is that you?
It's midday and a lot has happened since my confrontation with Demeter, most of it involving soap and loofahs. There was a lot of mud to clean off. I discovered, as soon as I got back to the farmhouse, that Alex had called ahead and was about half an hour away. Demeter's main concern was that Alex shouldn't find her and fire her before she'd had a chance to prepare a defense. So, I found her a hiding place in the woodshed, and she thanked me in a humble, grateful way. I'm feeling like perhaps I didn't know Demeter at all at Cooper Clemo. Not the real Demeter. I want to talk to her again, peel back the veneer even more, find out who she is underneath all the success and designer clothes and name-dropping. But right now that's not the priority. The priority is that I've made her a promise, whether that was wise or not, and I must do my best to keep it, even though the sight of Alex is throwing me off balance quite considerably, even though there's a ticker tape headline running through my brain. He's not sleeping with Demeter after all. He's not sleeping with Demeter after all.
Ugh, stop it, brain!
So he's not sleeping with Demeter. What does that mean?
Nothing. He might be sleeping with someone else. He might be in love with someone else. He might not find me remotely attractive, most likely, indeed, even more likely, given our last encounter.
During my shower, I rewound and replayed my entire history with Alex. And it made me want to die. Let's face it, the last time I saw him, I was yelling at him that he was fucking entitled. I was also telling him how I had thought we had a spark between us. Who does that? Answer, only me. Katie, the world's least adept traveller on the journey of finding a man and not fucking it up. So the situation isn't exactly ideal. But I have an agreement to keep, so here I go. And I won't get flustered or anything. Oh, God. As I get near him, I'm already flustered. I'd forgotten how attractive he is. He's as lean as ever, in old jeans and a faded orange polo shirt, his dark hair shining in the sunlight. At once I think, he's not in a suit. Of course he's not going to fire Demeter. But then I remember, oh, he never wears a suit. This means nothing. His gaze is so intense and interested that it seems like he's reading everything in my head, my feelings, Demeter's hiding place, everything. But of course he's not. Get a grip, Katie. I've decided to go for a super nonchalant approach, although I'm not sure how convincing I'll be. Hello there, I say casually. Shall I add, it's Alex, isn't it, with a frown, as though I can't quite remember who he is? No, he'll never believe it. And he'll know I'm putting it on, and I'll look tragic. Fine. Okay.
It is you, he exclaims.
Cat! Katie, I correct him. Call me Katie.
You look different.
He wrinkles his brow, as though trying to work out what's changed, which is such a male response. A girl would instantly have it. Her hair's blue and curly, she's lost the black eyeliner, gained a couple of pounds, got some freckles, and where are those glasses she used to wear? Now he's heading toward me with a springy, bouncing walk, as though walking's far too slow for him, but he doesn't want to run.
This is insane. What are you doing here?
I live here.
You live here? Alex peers at me. Is this your job now?
Yes, but it's my home too. Always has been.
But he runs a hand through his hair in that way he does. Wait, you live in Birmingham, don't you?
And although I've decided that I'm not going to analyze everything he says, I can't help myself. I never mentioned Birmingham to him. Does that mean he's talked about me to someone? Does that mean...
No, stop. It doesn't mean anything.
I used to work in Birmingham, I say. Demeter got the wrong end of the stick. But then she's not really into details. Or junior staff. I fold my arms and look at him with a deliberately blank expression,
I'm playing a bit of a game here. The more I'm rude about Demeter, the more he might reveal about her. Or at least, he'll never suspect I'm having this conversation on her behalf.
Will he?
Alex is so sharp, I wouldn't be surprised at anything, but I can do my best.
You do know she's here, I add.
Are you down here for a meeting, then? Or did you just see the brochure and decide to have a mini break? All my senses are on high alert as I wait for his reply. But Alex doesn't seem to hear the question.
Have you spoken to her? He asks slowly. Demeter, I mean.
Demeter? Of course not. We said hello or whatever.
I shrug.
She didn't even recognize me at first. Typical.
Is it typical? Says Alex with sudden animation.
Is it?
You worked for her, you'll know.
He breaks off and rubs his face, looking unexpectedly desolate.
Know what?
Oh, it doesn't matter now. The die is cast.
He lapses into silence, and I can see the lines round his mouth form into little grooves, anxious grooves. There's a sinking feeling in my stomach. He doesn't look like someone who saw a brochure and decided to have a holiday. He looks like someone with a mission that he doesn't want to carry out. Which, actually, is very inconsiderate of him, I find myself thinking. It is not in the Anstis Farm spirit. Being fired is not on our list of relaxing holiday activities.
So, her whole family are here, he says after a brooding pause.
Yes, I reply pointedly. They're having a really nice time. So, shall I tell Demeter you're here? I'm not sure where she's got to, in fact.
No, he says quickly. Don't tell her yet, just give me...
He breaks off.
Look, I had no idea you'd be here, Katie. It makes things complicated.
What's complicated?
I look as puzzled as I possibly can. Demeter, he says unguardedly, then winces. Shit. You know, I was not expecting to see you here. You're throwing me off.
He gives me an accusing look. Well, I don't care what it is, I say, managing to appear supremely uninterested. Only don't have a row or anything. It'll upset the guests.
Have a row? He echoes with a humorless little laugh. I'm afraid we might well have a row, if not worse.
I force myself to shrug, then keep quiet for a while. I have a feeling he wants to unburden himself. I can see it in his pained eyes, the way he's twitching his fingers, the way he keeps glancing up at me.
Look, I think I should tell you something, he says in a sudden rush. You can be discreet.
Of course.
Things are going to get awkward. I have to tell Demeter she's being let go from Cooper Clemo.
And even though I knew it was coming, I feel a shockwave run through me. I can't imagine Demeter fired. It seems all upside down. Demeter is the creative, inspired one. Demeter is the one who bangs heads together. Demeter leads, others follow. She's the boss. She just is. Belatedly, I realize that I haven't demonstrated any outward surprise at all. Shit.
I'm so shocked, I say hastily, that I can't react. I'm numb.
There, covered myself, I hope.
I know, Alex winces. Believe me, it hasn't been an easy decision. I mean, Demeter's brilliant, we all know that. But there have been some issues. Adrian feels, well, everyone feels... Things have not been going swimmingly. Put it like that.
Right. I wonder if I can get any more out of him. So what was, like, the deciding factor?
Oh, God, Alex exhales sharply. There's been so much. But this latest cock-up with Allison's is unforgivable.
He interrupts himself and looks around to check we're not being overheard.
This is confidential, right?
Absolutely, I say gravely. We have a motto here. What is uttered in the stable yard stays in the stable yard. I think I maligned Steve before. His stable yard motto is actually pretty good.
Alex looks confused. We're not in a stable yard.
It applies to the whole farm, I reassure him. You were saying about Allison's?
Right, well, I don't know what you heard, but basically, Demeter went into Allison's a few weeks ago. You know Allison's holdings?
He adds, and I nod.
They want a 360 rebrand of the Flaming Red restaurant chain. Extremely big piece of work. And apparently Demeter really impressed them. She had all sorts of ideas about research, workshops. She wanted to set up a brand roadshow. I mean, she was brilliant in the meeting. Everyone agrees that.
So?
So she never followed it up.
Was she supposed to?
Yes, she was bloody supposed to. But she had some kind of crazy meltdown and got the idea Allison's wanted to stall, for some reason. She gave that message to Rosa and Mark, so no one bothered pursuing it.
And did Allison's want to stall?
No! They were waiting for her, for us. Apparently they kept emailing and she sent reassuring emails back. But clearly, they were on one page while she was on the fucking moon. So at last they phone up Adrian directly. This is yesterday morning, and he's like, what the hell?
So, I mean, my mind is working hard. Have you told Demeter about this?
Of course. We had a whole series of calls about it yesterday. But this is the worst bit. She seems totally confused. She maintains she didn't make a mistake, that it's Allison's fault. And when she gets back from holiday, she'll show us. But we have the email trail proving the opposite. The whole thing's messed up. Adrian's given up talking to her. Everyone's given up on her. They think she's lost it.
Alex looks genuinely miserable. And so that's why she's being fired, I press him.
That one incident. There's been other stuff.
He folds his arms around his rangy body, looking harassed.
There was a faux pas where she forwarded an email to the wrong address. I'm sure you heard about that.
I wince. Yes, I did.
She had to grovel to Forest Food big time. Then there was a big cock-up with Sensequo.
I remember that too, I nod, recalling Rosa screaming at Demeter in the ladies. Kind of. I mean, I just overheard stuff, I add hastily.
She won Sensequo round, but again, it was a massive needless drama. And then generally we've had so many complaints about her leadership, her manner with the juniors, her flakiness.
He brings his fists to his forehead in frustration.
I just don't get it. I worked for Demeter in my first job, and she was fabulous. She was brilliant. She was encouraging. She was on it. I mean, yes, she was always a bit impulsive, a bit erratic. But that was Demeter. You put up with it because of the flashes of genius. And she basically kept everything under control. She ran a tight ship. But now, he sighs, I don't know what's happened to her. I look like a fool for hiring her, for sticking up for her.
You call this sticking up for her?
I can't help sounding incredulous.
Coming to fire her? On her holiday?
I did my best for her, okay? His eyes become dark and defensive. And I'd rather do this than have her arrive at work on Monday, get summoned to Adrian, and it's all in front of her team. I volunteered to come down here, believe it or not. I'm trying to give her some dignity and space.
He suddenly breaks off.
Anyway, why do you care? I thought you hated her.
Oh, I do, I say quickly. She's the one who let me go, remember?
Bitch, she deserves all she gets. She's not really a bitch, says Alex slowly. I know everyone thinks she is, but she's not. She gets a bad rap, and I'm not sure why.
I want to say, I know what you mean. I want to say, I'm starting to see Demeter in a different light. But obviously I can't say that. So instead I pick a cornflower and pull all its petals off, which is a bad habit of mine. Katie! Biddy's reproving voice hits my ears. Leave that poor cornflower alone! I give a rueful grin. That is typical Biddy to catch me out. She's coming into the garden with a laden tray, and I hurry over to help her. The tray has on it a coffee press, cup and saucer, milk jug, 2 scones with jam and clotted cream, a slice of lemon drizzle cake, and a couple of chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, my God, Biddy, I say in a whisper, as I help her arrange it all on our wrought iron garden table and put up an umbrella against the sun. Did you give him enough to eat, do you think?
I wanted to give him a good welcome, she whispers back. He's our first guest.
So, Mr. Astarlis, she stands up, please come and have a proper West Country morning coffee, and then I'll show you to your room.
As Alex sits down at the table, he looks a bit thunderstruck, but he smiles charmingly at Biddy and compliments everything.
These scones! And the jam! Is that homemade?
Eventually, Biddy goes back inside, and Alex puts down the scone.
I cannot eat all this, he says. Sorry, It's just not happening. I had breakfast on the road about, what, an hour ago?
Don't worry, I laugh. Biddy just wanted to make you welcome.
And welcome would be Somerset slang for a coronary patient.
Alex eyes the dish of clotted cream, and I laugh again.
Seriously, you do have to try her lemon drizzle cake. It's amazing.
I will.
Alex's expression turns sober. But not now. He wraps up the lemon drizzle cake in a napkin, then puts his hands flat on the table.
Enough procrastinating. I need to do this. Do you know where Demeter is?
My stomach lurches.
Don't give away anything.
Let Biddy show you your room first, I say easily. Please, it won't take long. She's so excited to have you. Actually, I hesitate. You're our first B&B guest.
Really? Alex looks surprised. I thought this was an up-and-running business.
It is. The glamping is. But the B&B's new, and Biddy's quite nervous.
Well, I hate to disappoint her.
Alex takes a sip of coffee. But I probably won't even use my room.
You're not staying the night? I try not to sound crestfallen, because obviously I'm not crestfallen.
I only booked a room in case things took longer than expected. I'll pay, of course, Alex adds quickly.
But staying isn't the plan. I don't want to prolong this any more than I have to.
Will you still give us a good review on TripAdvisor? I blurt out before I can stop myself, and Alex laughs.
Absolutely. 10 stars.
I smile back. It only goes up to 5.
5.5, then.
He drains his cup of coffee, then looks at me quizzically, as though greeting me for the first time.
So, Katie Brenner, how have you been?
Oh, you know, I say lightly. Unemployed, mostly. He winces, and I add, no, it's been fine. Really, it's been good. I've helped my dad start this place up, and Biddy. She's my stepmom, I explain.
You started this from scratch?
He sweeps his arm around.
Yes. Just the 3 of you?
I nod, and Alex picks up the Anstis Farm brochure, which Biddy has helpfully left on the tray. He studies it for a minute, then raises his head.
You know something? I saw this earlier, and I thought, this looks like a piece of Demeter's work.
You've learned from her, clearly.
Congratulations.
I feel an inner whoop, but simply reply, thanks. Oh, and by the way, please can you not mention that you know me to Dad or Biddy?
Oh, Alex seems taken aback.
It's complicated. They don't know that I know Demeter either. I stop dead.
Anyway. Fine, says Alex after a pause.
He sounds confused and even a bit offended, but too bad. I can't go into it all. Anyway, he probably won't even hang around long enough to talk to Biddy again, let alone Dad.
I pour him another cup of coffee, and he lifts a hand. No, I really have to go.
But then he takes a pensive sip, something I've learned here. 60% of people who say no thanks to more coffee then drink 2 more cups.
For a while there's silence except for the sound of children's laughter drifting over the breeze. I think the kids are with Dad this morning, doing something with scarecrows.
After that, they'll go boating on Fisher's Lake. They do have a good time here. You can't argue with that.
I'm feeling a tad awkward and wondering what to say next, when Alex breaks the quiet. You know, I thought a lot about what you said your last day at Cooper Clemo. It got to me. I had a sleepless night or two. I nearly called you up.
He what? I'm utterly taken aback. Playing for time, I look away, fidgeting with a spoon. I want to ask him, what are you talking about exactly? What did you want to say? Why did you have sleepless nights? But at the same time, I don't want to go there. It was all too mortifying.
Right.
I make the mistake of raising my eyes, and he's looking right at me with that dark gaze of his.
Look at you, he says softly.
And I feel a fresh lurch in my stomach.
What does that mean? And why is he looking at me like that? Oh, God.
Okay, full disclosure. The whole not getting flustered strategy has bombed.
I don't even know what's doing it. His eyes, his voice, just him.
Anyway, I say in a businesslike way, I'm sorry, but I just have to go and do a thing.
Of course. Alex seems to come to, and the light in his eyes fades.
You must be very busy. Sorry to have kept you.
He puts down his coffee cup.
Well, here goes. Any idea where Demeter is? Your dad thought she was with you.
Demeter?
I say with a careless shrug. Sorry, no idea, but I'm sure she's around somewhere. If I see her, I'll point her in your direction.
If you do see her, he squints at me against the sunlight. You won't say anything to her, will you? Stable yard rules?
Say anything to her? I echo, as though the idea is ludicrous. Of course I won't. Not a word.
You're being fired, I blurt out as soon as I reach the woodshed. It's all true. Adrian's given up on you, and it's because of Allison's and the forest food email and the thing with Sensequo and your manner with your staff and, you know, everything.
Everything. Demeter peers at me from the depths of the woodshed, looking like some hostage emerging from a month-long ordeal. Unlike me, she has not visited a shower because she was too paranoid about bumping into Alex. She has dried mud in her face, dust all over her hair, and wood shavings on her shoulders, looking like monster dandruff. Her expression is stricken, and I realize I was perhaps a bit blunt.
Well, you know, I amend, trying to sound more diplomatic. All your mistakes, and well, the stuff with the staff.
What stuff with the staff? She gazes at me through the murk with that myopic, confused, incredibly frustrating expression she gets.
Well, I shrug awkwardly. I'm hardly going to spell it out, am I?
There's silence. Demeter's foot is tapping on the floor in a nervous, repetitive pattern. Her eyes are darting around like a cornered animal's.
Tell me about the stuff with the staff, she says abruptly. You were one of them. Tell me.
Oh, God, this is excruciating.
Really? I say at once. It's nothing.
It's not nothing.
It is. I mean, there were just a few tiny things. I trail off uncomfortably.
Clearly, there were more than a few tiny things, says Demeter evenly.
Katie, I'm asking you as a fellow professional. Give me a review, a full, honest review, no holds barred.
Ugh. Is she serious?
I can't, I twist my legs together. It would be awkward.
Awkward, Demeter erupts. How awkward do you think I feel right now? Hiding in a woodshed from a man who used to be my junior. Looking at my whole career disappearing down the drain. Feeling I must be going mad.
She clutches her head, and I can see tears suddenly glittering in her eyes.
You don't know what it's like for me. I don't understand. I don't understand.
She bangs her head against her hands, and I gape in shocked dismay.
Nothing makes sense. I really think I may be getting dementia, but I can't admit that to anyone. Anyone. Not even James.
You haven't got dementia, I say appalled. That's ridiculous. But Demeter is shaking her head almost savagely, as though she can't hear me.
Things change. Things. They don't make sense. Emails, messages.
Her brow wrinkles as though with the memory.
Every day I get through in a state of, basically, panic.
Yes, panic. Trying to keep on top of everything and failing, quite clearly failing, as my imminent dismissal goes to prove. She wipes roughly at her eyes.
I do apologize. This is unlike me.
Look, I gulp, feeling more and more uneasy. You're brilliant at what you do. You really inspired me, and you've got amazing ideas.
Tell me about the staff.
She cuts me off dead.
Where have I messed up? Why do they hate me?
I'm about to give the pat answer. They don't hate you. But something about Demeter's expression stops me fobbing her off. I respect this woman. She deserves better than that.
Well, take Rosa. I pick a name at random.
She feels, I hesitate, trying to decide how to put it.
She feels you stamp on her fingers with your Miu Miu shoes.
She feels you don't always encourage her to develop her career, I say carefully. Like you wouldn't let her do the mayor's athletics project.
She's holding that against me.
Demeter looks incredulous.
Well, it would have showcased her talents.
Jesus. Demeter closes her eyes. I don't believe this.
Do you want to know the truth? They didn't want her at the mayor's project.
What?
It's my turn to stare. I wrote an email recommending her, and we sent off a portfolio, but she didn't make the grade.
But why didn't you tell her? I exclaim. Rosa always seems very sensitive.